This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You know, I've had so much to talk about. I didn't even get to some of the stuff I wanted to touch on. I'll give you my NFL picks in just a second. But while I do have a second, I did want to discuss the Lakers for a second. I'll just keep going with that word. The Lakers last night beat the Heat. Really entertaining game. One of the better games of the NBA season. Miami is a good team, too. Miami's right in that mix in the East. I think they're just as good as any of those other teams in the East. I think all those teams are about on the same plane, other than Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's at a different level. But Milwaukee doesn't feel unbeatable because in the postseason, we've seen Mike Budenholzer teams not perform as well, and Giannis, as awesome and as much of a force as he is, still have some limitations come crunch time. So the East is wide open. I don't think until Durant gets back for Brooklyn is there a clear, definitive best team in that conference. Right now, all those teams are in the mix, and Miami included. I said before, I think Jimmy Butler is one of the most underrated players in the entire league, if not the most underrated player in the league. He's a dog. He plays defense, can guard multiple spots on offense. He can both be a facilitator for others and a go-to scorer. He has a knack for getting to the free throw line, and he's just very competitive. And Miami has done a nice job, you know, developing Bam Adebayo, identifying talent in the young guys that they got, like Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Harrell. So they've got a good squad. And that was an impressive win for the Lakers because Miami was undefeated at home. And, you know, with the Lakers, it just feels like people keep moving the goalposts and talk about their schedule. And I even have a buddy who's a Lakers fan. He's like, we haven't beaten anybody. I said, who on your schedule do you see on the schedule and go, oh, that might be a loss? I mean, who do you not count as a win? Everybody you count as a win. Other than, I think the Clippers are the only team that give Lakers and their fans any sort of anxiety. Because you look at every other team, you know, the Western Conference, for instance, everybody tells me how tough the West is, and LeBron was in the East for so long. The Lakers are going to chew up and spit out the West. They have been. Like Denver in a playoff series against the Lakers, they'll make me laugh. You know, so that's the level they're on right now, and they look terrifying at times. Because LeBron James is so locked in. He is locked in. He believes in this team. You know, last year, he got hurt. There was the trade stuff. But also, a bunch of young guys maybe didn't know exactly what they were doing. Maybe he was distracted a little bit by some of his other projects, what have you. He got motivated in the offseason. He heard the talk about him. He heard the jokes at the Lakers' expense. He knew they got Anthony Davis, who is just born to play with him. You know, what's the one weakness in Anthony Davis's game? He doesn't really create for anybody else, right? He's not a creator. Well, LeBron is the creator. So they've just fit each other extraordinarily well. And the Lakers are big. You know, they're long. They're big. They're long. So Dwight Howard's had this resurgence. When you got Anthony Davis, who's a nightmare, and you've got LeBron orchestrating things, and then Dwight Howard's crashing the glass, it's tough. They're intimidating. And they got a bunch of guards who shoot the ball well. Or a few guards, at least, who shoot the ball well and play D. The only thing they're missing is another offense initiator because it's just LeBron. You know, Rondo is obviously past his prime and Caruso being the other ball handlers. They don't really have another guy who can create offense. I mean, Rondo can still orchestrate to a certain extent, but you know what I mean. Other than that, I mean, they're stacked. They're long. They've got LeBron locked in year 17, which is just wild to see somebody at his age with that many miles on play at this level. And then you just look at their record and you start to wonder. I mean, they're 23-3. At what point is it fair to start talking about what they can accomplish? I mean, they're obviously a championship contender, if not the favorite. I think at this point you have to say that the favorite, for sure. And it does feel like the opportunity has opened up for LeBron this year because the Warriors are down, you know, because he got Davis, because, you know, there's not an Eastern Conference powerhouse at this second outside of Milwaukee, who we're still not totally sold on. But guys in there, what do you think? When do you start talking about, you know, the special stuff they might accomplish this season? They're 23-3. That is a winning percentage of 88%, almost up to 89%. I think 73 wins is 89%. So they're at a 72-73 win pace right now. When is it fair to start talking about that sort of stuff?
It's fair, Robin, when they meet the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals and Anthony Davis takes...
Well, that would already be the regular season would be over. So it's fair. I mean, it's fair to talk about how many games they could win after they've already played the season.
But Robin, you talk about LeBron James as an all-time great. Now let me ask someone.
Of course, I talk about LeBron James as an all-time great because he is an all-time great.
So if someone is aficionado,
the all-time great.
So someone who's as aficionado as you are when it comes to the game of basketball.
That's not the proper word. Someone who is an aficionado like you are when it comes to,
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you used it as like an adjective.
Okay. Well, anyways, the point being is, at this point of his career, the only number he is focused on is number 4. That's it, right?
I think he's focused on a lot of things.
Okay, what is the paramount number in his career right
now
is what?
I think another ring, but I think another MVP would be huge.
Does that matter?
Yes.
To him?
I think all that stuff matters to him. I think just proving matters to him. I think he's motivated in general. And I think he's at the point in time where, and he said this, and this is the proper mindset, you don't think about the results. The results, you know, they come. They're going to be what they are. You control what you can control. You know, he talked recently about the 2011 finals, the one true black mark on his career, blemish on his career. And, you know, I think he was in his own head at that point. And he learned from it. And the best thing to do is, all right, he prepares as hard as he can. He trains as hard as he can. They got the team that they're ready to go to battle with. He's, you know, comfortable with the coach, all those things, and he's motivated because of what everybody said and because he believes in the guys around him. So he's going to live with the results. I don't think yes, of course he's chasing the championship, but I don't think he's working backwards. I don't think he's thinking championship is the only outcome. I think he's thinking, how do we get there and doing what it takes to do that. And then let the chips fall where they may. I mean, if I'm being honest, that's what I think he's thinking. But it's wild to see because I didn't expect them to be this good. And I still don't know if they have enough depth or again, another shot creator or you know, obviously can't withstand an injury to one of those two, LeBron or Davis. But the Lakers are really good. And, I mean, 26 games is more than a quarter of the season. More than a quarter of the way through the season, they're on pace to threaten the all-time wins record, or at least be in that conversation.
The Mavericks had 67 wins that MVP Dirk year, and they got bounced in the first round by an 8-seed Warriors team.
But they didn't have LeBron James.
Dirk Nowitzki was pretty good.
Yeah, but he's not in LeBron's class, not even in the same breath.
You don't put them in the same stratosphere?
No.
Robin, you did mention 2011.
Yeah, and the Mavs won, and Dirk Nowitzki's an all-time great. He's a Hall of Famer, and he had a wonderful run through the playoffs. But he's not in the same league as LeBron. When have you ever seen, can you name me one time you've seen LeBron lose in the first round?
He played in the East, though, so it's much different.
But he's in the West now. How tough does the West look all of a sudden?
He didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, because he got hurt.
He was there for a good amount of time.
No, he missed 20 games. I mean, where were they in the West when he went down?
They were in the number 4 seed.
Yeah.
I'll
and what was happening in the game that he went down in?
They were convincingly beating the Warriors.
Yeah, okay.
I agree with that, Robin. But when he came back, and I know he had those
games. When he came back, that was the beginning of the end of their season when he went down. He came back. He wasn't fully healthy. He wasn't fully engaged. There was the trade talk. Just a lot of things went wrong that added to that. And I think that has helped him this season because he got the time off. He got refocused. He got good energy and good spirit around the guys that are there now. But when you look at his career history, there is just no real evidence to support the idea of, of him being eliminated early in the process or not making the, you know, extended run. And I don't think the Western Conference makes a difference at all. Who in the West is so tough that he's going to have a problem with?
I tell you what, if Porzingis finds his true self and goes back to MSG All-Star games,
well, Dallas is going to be really good.
That Mavericks team.
Yeah, they're really good.
Trouble. And Robin, Luka's only getting better.
Well, yeah, he's 20 years old.
I understand that.
Yeah.
There's no Luka outside of Luka in the NBA right now.
There's what?
What I'm saying is he will be the best player.
Wait, there's no Luka outside of Luka?
What I'm saying is there's going to be no Luka Doncic next year because he will take that mantle as the best player in the game.
He definitely could be the next guy who's considered the best player in the game. But at this moment, LeBron James is still the best player in the game. And he is. What do your mouth look like that for? He is. You're telling me going into a playoff series, you're taking someone else other than LeBron James.
I'll take Kawhi. I'll take Giannis. I'll take Luka.
And you'll be wrong.
Robin, he's 35 is 35.
I know how old he
is.
No
offense.
But okay, what does his age show you? You know, the real plus minus numbers came out. This is just a number to support not only history and what LeBron's accomplished, but these are supposed to, this is a number. It's basically a catch-all stat. And I know stats aren't everything. I'm just using it as an example to back up what I see. Because LeBron is initiating everything for LA. He's making it go. It's his vision. It's his, and by the way, it's defense. He's locking up on defense.
Great.
But this number is supposed to take into account who you're on the court with and blah, blah, blah. It's basically supposed to measure your impact, you know, the positive on the court. Real plus minus. Number one in the league, LeBron James, 9.70. Number two, James Harden, 6.73. And number three, Giannis, 6.72. So Giannis and Harden are essentially tied, the two guys who were up for MVP last year. And LeBron is a full 3 points ahead of both of them in that number, in that metric.
It's a fantastic stat.
You don't think LeBron's the best player in the game? When it comes down to money time, you're taking Giannis in a playoff series over LeBron?
100%. Robin, the only reason is you are a student of history of this game. Aside from 2016... with a very odd head-scratching suspension. He has faded in 2015. He faded.
He's never faded. No, he's never faded. He's never faded one time.
No, he didn't.
That's just nonsense. It's just nonsense garbage.
His body broke down.
They never broke down. No, 2011 is the one thing I'll give you. In 2015, he had a bad back, and he still carried the Cavs to two wins with Matthew Dellavedova as his sidekick against the Warriors.
I'm not saying mentally. But physically, his body gave out a little bit. That's all I'm saying. It did. Look at the games he put up. He was shooting less than 50%.
You're only comparing LeBron to LeBron. You realize
he's an all-time great.
Lakers play the Bucks in a playoff series. I'll take the Lakers in five.
Okay.
And I'll definitely take LeBron over Giannis in a playoff series. Giannis has never done anything in the playoffs. LeBron has won multiple championships. The best Game 7 player in history. Can score. Can pass. Can do all that stuff. In a playoff series, I'm not taking anybody over him. And in the NBA, I'm still not taking anybody over him. Got to make my NFL picks. I will get to those. But first, going to talk to Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News, an NFL writer, to go around the league. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
There you go. He said it. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Going to get back into the NFL now. And to do so, I'm joined by Sporting News NFL writer Vinny Iyer. Vinny, before we get into the Sunday's games and the like, I want to ask you the question I asked the audience earlier. Because as good as Lamar Jackson has been this season, you almost forget how good Patrick Mahomes was a season ago. Lamar Jackson clearly going to be the MVP this year. Mahomes was the MVP last year. If you had to choose between those guys, who would you take?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question going forward. I mean, I think you have to also consider, are things around them going to stay the same as much as we know them? And I think for right now, the window for Lamar Jackson, it's a little bit earlier. So I think you go with that because I don't see the Ravens and all the support system they put around him maybe going the other direction. But we know the Chiefs I'm going to have to play Patrick Mahomes here soon. That's going to maybe compromise some of the decisions they have to make at other spots. I mean, you look at right now, Lamar Jackson is the ideal spot for him. Last year, it was Patrick Mahomes. And what you're seeing is two, obviously, great individual talents, but then you're seeing what it can happen when they have the perfect system around them over the past two seasons. That's what we've seen. But all I can say is that if we get a Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson rematch in the AFC title game, I think I'll be very happy.
That's the game I want to see for sure. The other team, of course, in that mix is always going to be New England, no matter how much they're struggling. Considering they have footage of the Bengals now, do you think that's a sure win?
Yeah, there's not much there. Actually, the Bengals have played a lot better defense the last several weeks, so there's maybe something there with the way the Patriots are playing offense right now and not getting things that usually beat the Bengals, like the running game and the big plays downfield. So maybe it's going to be a little bit more grind than we thought. I mean, that's why we have this line, shocking to see, that it's under 10 points in most places for this game. So a little concern with New England. This is supposed to be a get-well game, but you never know. Cincinnati and outdoors. That said, I think they'll win the game. They'll figure out a way to win it, mainly with defense and special teams, like they won a lot of the games against inferior opponents early in the year. But they got to really fix a lot of things and feel good about themselves, because the Bills, who knows? I mean, they get the Steelers this week. They could keep winning here, pushing them in the division, and they have to play each other here in Week 16.
How about the Bears and the Packers? I mean, it's an interesting game in the sense that the Bears have really been playing well as of late. Is it just too little too late for Chicago, though?
Well, I think there's some things that can still go in Chicago's favor. First thing they need is the Rams to lose. They need to get ahead of them after losing to them. So they need a little help from the Cowboys, who they just beat last week. So that's number one. They also get the Vikings again. They did get that head-to-head win in the first matchup. So the Bears certainly have to win, and it's going to be tough with the schedule left with the Packers, Chiefs, and Vikings. I mean, that's as hard as it gets if you're trying to get in the playoffs there and you need a lot of help. So you're playing better, ends on a better note, maybe makes them feel a little bit better about both Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky going into 2020.
Robin Lundberg talking to Vinny Iyer, Sporting News NFL writer here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the Cowboys before, but the NFC East, not exactly a battle for supremacy, more like just who's going to wind up hosting a first-round playoff game that probably shouldn't. But who do you see emerging on top? I'm still sticking with Dallas there. I still think Dallas is the better team than Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, you look at the injuries. The Cowboys have had a lot of defensive injuries pile up. The Eagles have had injuries basically everywhere. Now, you lose Lane Johnson, you lose Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, this team is depleted right now. It's being put together by duct tape on both sides, really. You don't have much of a pass rush either with Derek Barnett hurt up front for the Eagles. So right now the Cowboys are a much better team when you look at it. I think they're the underachieving team. Well, I think the Eagles are probably playing at the level they are right now in terms of where they are offensively and defensively. So I think the Cowboys are also the scarier team if someone draws them. I know we've seen this before. We've seen the Seahawks team get in at 7-9, but use their home field advantage, take down a superior team. So they're going to be tough out if the Cowboys get in, whether they play the 49ers or Seahawks in that first game, which figures to be the matchup. Is you still have to go on the road and beat this team, and you know they have Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott. They can get hot offensively at any time to go on a run.
You know, it's funny. I do this for a living, so obviously I'm following stuff, but even when you're doing that, sometimes, you know, you can't get to everything and consume everything unless you're, you know, micro-focused on that particular sport or a particular team. And I look at the last few weeks and I look at the standings and I go, the Tennessee Titans? When did this happen? how serious do you take them?
Well, I think I take them seriously right now because the way that Ryan Tannehill's played, they've only lost one game, and that was to Carolina. You look back and you think about it, how did they lose to Carolina of all teams in the stretch when he's been there? But the way they're playing right now, running the ball, their defense is good enough. They're having a few issues on the back end, but it's still a solid enough defense. I wouldn't say it's elite or dominant, but it isn't bad either. So decent part there. They're finding more playmakers on offense. A.J. Brown starting to emerge in his rookie season. Derrick Henry sets everything up. I mean, you look at Ryan Tannehill, the season he's having. You look at what he's done, play action, passing, throwing downfield. It's off the charts. And basically the biggest difference between him and Marcus Mariota is Marcus Mariota was scared to make the throws, make the mistakes. Ryan Tannehill is not only being aggressive making those throws, he's also not making mistakes. So they've done a complete 180 with their quarterback play that dictates a lot of success in this league. So two games left with the Texans. I think I'm going to worry a little bit if I'm Bill O'Brien, Deshaun Watson, the Texans. Your defense is not very good at all. You could easily lose two of these last three to the Titans, lose the division, and fall out of the playoffs. And I think that would be really messy with what could happen in Houston.
Finally, you'd referenced the Bills and the Steelers before. Who do you like in that one? I mean, I think the Bills are still the more talented overall team, but it's tough for me to pick against Pittsburgh at home. And I'm really, I've been hat tipping the job Mike Tomlin has done this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tight game. I mean, look at the over-under this game. I think it's microscopic. I think it's like 35 or 36 points. So Sunday Night Football is not going to be a scoring fest. But you look at the Steelers, I think they're the better overall defense. The Bills have been a little bit suspect against the run at times. And the Steelers, well-timed at getting James Conner back for this game. They've really missed him because Benny Snell, Jalen Samuels, Kareth White, they've tried to piece together his production, but you haven't quite seen it. So I think they made a great call. As they kept winning, wait till his shoulder's fully healed, get him back out there, and this is a great matchup for him. So I think you'll see a lot of James Conner, a lot of dominant defense. That's Pittsburgh's formula here going forward.
Vinny, appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
And you can call in like Derek on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. You can weigh in on whether you'd rather have Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, if the Patriots cheated again, and whether it's too early to start talking about the Lakers and 73 wins. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I'll get to every topic I have not also before I'm done. But first, I have to make my NFL picks for this week. All right, I'm going for it this week. I'm just going to go for it because I started off this season really poorly in the picks. Last year, I had a pretty good year. I was like 8 games over .500, something like that, by the end of the year. This year, I started off just horribly. I was in the hole immediately, something like 2-8 after 2 weeks. I don't know, maybe even worse than that. I don't know. Since then, it's been about a .500 season, but when you start below below the line, it's hard to make up for it. I had a good week last week, though. At 4-0-1. So, Anthony, I'm assuming, I'm probably hovering.
So, overall in the season, you're now 39-45-1.
Yes. So, that's what I figured. I was about, okay. So, that's not terrible. You don't hear that and think, oh, my gosh, this guy's an idiot. So, that was my number one goal to not have that happen to me. Number two, though, there is a chance. I've got a shot. So, I'm not a coward. I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to pick more games than normal this week. Starting with the Patriots minus 10 over the Bengals. This is, I don't know, this feels like a layup to me. Patriots have been struggling. Oh, they're so struggling. Patriots, these struggle guys. At 10-3, the struggle Patriots will beat the Bengals. The Bengals are terrible. The Patriots know all their signals now. They have all their substitution patterns down. They've got at least 8 minutes of footage of the Bengals sideline. So any tricks the Bengals were going to throw their way, the Patriots will be wise to with their spying methods. No, the Patriots got them just because they're better, obviously. Plus 170 on the season still is New England. For all the talk of their offensive struggles, they still have an incredible point differential. And you look at the bad teams they've played, they've had their way for the most part. 43-0 over the Dolphins, 30-14 over the Jets, 33-7 over Washington, 33-0 over the Jets, 27-13 over the Browns when they played them. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a struggle of late, but they also haven't played the Bengals. Now that they're playing the Bengals, I like the Patriots to get right in this one. Give me the Bears plus 4.5 over the Packers. The Bears are just playing really good, and that's all there is to it. This isn't some like overthinking analysis. I just have been impressed with the Bears the last few weeks. We went into the year and looked at that team as a possible Super Bowl team. Trubisky didn't play well enough. They didn't play well enough overall, and it looked like their season was over. Well, they've resurrected it a little bit. Now, the caveat being that some of those wins, Giants and the Lions are amongst those wins. I think two of them are against the Lions, actually. But they had a really impressive performance against the Cowboys, and I just like their chances to get within that number. Against the Packers. Always a tough place to play, but still plus 4.5. I'm going with the Bears. I'll take Washington plus 6 over the Eagles. Don't feel good about this one because I'm picking Washington, and there's just never a time where I would feel good about going with them. But that's another team that has been playing a lot better. Does it mean anything? No. But the Eagles, I just don't think are very good right now. I mean, the Eagles struggled with the Giants on Monday Night Football. Could have lost that game. They lost to the Dolphins. They're just banged up all over the place. I just don't think the Eagles are very good. I don't think there's much of a difference between Washington and Philadelphia right now. And Washington's at least played 500 ball the last 4 weeks. So when I see the number again, plus six at home, I'll take Washington. Give me the Seahawks minus six over the Panthers. Wheels have fallen off for Carolina. Seahawks have a chance at a bounce back in this one. So it's as simple as that. I'll take the Seahawks minus six over the Panthers. Cardinals plus three over the Browns. You know, sometimes when you're just picking a bunch of games to try and win at the end of the year, there's not a grand thought process that goes into it. Here's my thought process for that. It's time for the Browns to screw it up. You know, their brand this year has been to screw it up. They finally got themselves right. It looks like they're just poised to maybe make a run. They're going to lose one that everybody gets to laugh at them about. It's going to be this one against the Cardinals. I'll take the Titans minus three over the Texans. More logic involved here. Tennessee's just playing really good. And Ryan Tannehill has been a revelation since he got back in there. He may be their quarterback moving forward. Maybe the league has gotten, you know, more suited to players with his skill set in his time off, but he has played really well. Tennessee's won four games in a row, including a win over Kansas City. Houston, I think, is quietly struggling. I'll take the Titans minus three over the Texans. Give me the Cowboys plus one over the Rams. I don't think the Cowboys are as bad as we make them out to be. Not that they're good. They are perfectly mediocre. But because they get talked about so much, it exaggerates how bad that they actually are. You know, they still have outscored their opponents on the season. They still are only one game below 500. So they've had a couple of bad losses in a row. Certainly not inspiring losses. But when you've got a situation where they still are playing for something, they've had some extra time now to get ready for this game. And again, I think the hysteria around them is a little bit greater than the actual problems. Not to say that they're, you know, some great team. But I don't think they're as miserable as the talk would make you believe they are. Hosting a game against the Rams, give me the Cowboys plus one. And finally, the Steelers minus one over the Bills. I've just been riding the Steelers lately, and it's been working well for me, so I'm not going to hop off that trend. So to wrap that up, Patriots minus 10 over the Bengals, Bears plus 4.5 over the Packers, Washington plus 6 over the Eagles, Seahawks minus 6 over the Panthers, Cardinals plus 3 over the Browns, Titans minus 3 over the Texans, Cowboys plus 1 over the Rams, and Steelers minus 1 over the Bills. Let's go to Tom in Chicago. Tom, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, looking for your advice on starting QBs, Jameis Winston with the injured thumb or Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
Ooh, that's a tough one because Winston is he's such an enigma in the sense. He's like a roller coaster, right? It's either, you know, you get one really great play, you get one really bad play, and he's been he's been very good from a fantasy standpoint. And he's found his rhythm a little bit in that Arian system. He does have that issue, as you mentioned, on the hand, and they are on the road. I don't think you can go wrong. I think you're actually in a pretty good spot. My gut is telling me Tannehill, though, right now. Just the way he's been playing at home and the way the Titans have been going. I think you're probably going to get similar scores out of both, but Winston's also the one who's more likely to have a three-interception kind of game. So
yep, higher floor.
I slightly lean Tannehill.
Yeah, and related to that, would you load up and go A.J. Brown or Keenan Allen at wide receiver?
Yeah, go Brown. You know, the Chargers just haven't been good enough, and the Titans are playing better. So if it doesn't work out, you can blame me, but my advice, I'm just riding the trend at the moment, right? And we don't know when the trend is going to end, but right now the trend is good for Tennessee.
All right. Thanks so much.
You got it. Let's get to everything I have not as of yet now in another one. Anthony, what's up first, man?
So the Broncos coach, Vic Fangio, believes that the NFL should get rid of divisions altogether. He suggested a new playoff format. Fangio believes the NFL should just roll with the six best teams in each conference. So do you like Fangio's idea, or maybe should the NFL just reseed the playoffs? And, of course, this is just because of you have the Eagles and the Cowboys and their records this year and the fact that, you know, they're going to be hosting a playoff game against maybe the Seahawks or the 49ers. So there's been a lot of talk about possibly reseeding. But Fangio says get rid of divisions altogether, just take the six best teams in each conference.
Well, I mean, you could compromise and keep the divisions, but take the six best teams from each conference, not necessarily give the division winner anything. I think he's right. You know, ultimately, I think he's right. There's that pull, maybe more in football than anything else. Well, it's there in baseball. Nobody cares about divisions in basketball, right? Nobody cares. The conferences have a little bit of a nostalgic pull, the West versus the East. In baseball, the AL East, because of the Yankees and the Red Sox, of course. In football, though, it just feels like every division has its own little thing. Browns, Steelers existed this year because of the division rivalry. Obviously, the NFC East stuff we're talking about. But I wonder how much of that is just nostalgic pull to me, and would I actually miss it if it went away? Overall, I agree with his premise. It should be the six best teams. I don't think you should get extra credit for winning a division, which only has a meaning because we gave it a meaning. In reality, it's meaningless. Yeah, I agree with that. Do I think divisions should be abolished altogether? There's a part of me that thinks so, but then there is the other part that's like, hey, you grew up on this. So I could compromise and say keep the division format as far as who you're playing, but still just take the six best teams for the playoffs. If the division winner isn't good enough, the division winner isn't good enough.
Nick Saban feels his ex-coach has crossed the line by poaching. Saban indicated that he did not appreciate Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt poaching members of his staff when they left Tuscaloosa. Do you agree with Saban? Did his ex-coaches cross a line?
I don't know. I mean, Saban always seems like he's upset about something. Look, it depends on how it goes and works out, right? And everybody has a different perspective. Usually the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Are they going in and giving guys promotions that deserve promotions, who have worked their way to get to a certain spot, and they happen to know them because of their experience with them, so that's who they're reaching out to? That could definitely be the case. Are they trying to screw Nick Saban? Maybe there's part of that too. I don't know. Saban obviously is upset because he's losing the personnel around him that he has faith in, but eventually those guys have to move on as well, and it's usually who you know, right? That's how things work, so they have a relationship with him, they're reaching out. I think that's probably more likely than them crossing a line and you know, breaking some unspoken code that only Nick Saban knows the rules to.
Sticking with college football, the 18 playoff model being talked about, this would include 5 automatic bids for the winners of conference championship games, 2 at-large bids, and 1 bid for the best group of 5 teams. So should the college football playoff expand?
Yes. I think 8, and that's it. No more expansions after that. You know, you want to keep some meaning to the regular season, but you also want to add a little drama to the play. There's no drama, really. You're only playing one game. You don't have like these, you can't make a crazy run from an unexpected team if it's just one game. You also might be leaving out teams that are good enough and we haven't seen. So I think 8 is the middle bowl of porridge. It's the right compromise there, where you're still keeping it scarce enough where the regular season means a lot, but you're widening it up just enough to create some extra competition and to make sure that all the best teams get a crack at it.
NBA, it was reported this week that Becky Hammon has interest in the Knicks head coaching job. Now, if she was a serious candidate, would you advise Hammon to take the job or run the other way given the opportunity?
The latter, unless something is solved above her. You know, I guess, you know, I could talk about James Dolan, but it's unlikely he's going to sell. So if somebody was installed and they legitimately had full autonomy, then take the job, of course. You know, but until then, with the situation as is, all you're going to do is hurt your record and your resume going forward and become the you know, whoever they hire, I always joke, is the Knicks' next former coach. Until that happens, until there's some something solidifies above the coaching position, it doesn't matter who the coach of the Knicks is.
All right, finally, there was just so many new trailers that came out this week. Just my mind was spinning. It was unbelievable. So I just want to ask you, do you have a favorite movie trailer of all time, one that really stands out?
I think it has to be Infinity War. I mean, that's an easy answer for me, but it has to be because, you know, I followed all those Marvel movies, and they all built to that. I know they all were resolved in Endgame, but Infinity War and Endgame I sort of view as one movie, and that was the culmination of it all. So seeing that trailer for the first time and realizing, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet and the stakes and all the stuff that had been set up would tie back in together with all those people on screen simultaneously and wondering if they could pull it off. You know, that was part of it too. Like, well, this looks like they might have pulled it off. Did they actually pull it off? I think ultimately my answer would go to Infinity War. And really a remarkable achievement. We say it all the time here. I say it all the time privately. But the idea that they actually made that happen is mind-boggling to me, especially if you go back and were to tell me as a kid that would happen. Because as much as these movies are ubiquitous now, they didn't really exist back at that point in time. And then on that scale, there's never been anything tried on that scale. I was about to throw out the phone number again. It's a force of habit. But you could, for the next, coming up next, 855-212-4227. You can grab the podcast, cbssportsradio.com. I'll be back same time, same place next week. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.